When I was younger, first grade, had a big moment in my life, got the chicken pox. Now, it had been going through the school, so I'd seen kids get it, and it was like, okay, you know, this might happen. But when it happened, I remember waking up in the morning, and it was all scratchy and itchy, and I realized, oh no, I have the chicken pox. And I was like hiding in my bed, because I didn't want anybody to know. And then my dad came up, and maybe it was my mom. I think eventually my dad came up and said, why are you still in bed? And I was like hiding under the blanket, like, don't see me, because I have the chicken pox. And finally he got out of me that, yes, I have the chicken pox. And I was afraid. I was afraid to stand out. I was afraid to be cast out. You know, I kind of felt separated because I had this chicken pox. And so eventually I got healed and I was able to go back to school and everything. But remember that moment. It was a defining moment in my life. You know, sometimes we look at the gospel today. The lepers were separated from the community, and they had this status as being ritually unclean. And, you know, this was kind of a way to protect the community, but for the leper, it was a very sad state, a very sad state to be in. The feeling of being separated from the group is uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for all of us. You know, I don't belong, I'm not worthy, whatever it may be. In our time, there are so many diseases that cause people to be separated. You know, we had that Ebola scare a few years ago, or maybe it was just last year, I don't remember. But there are other ways that we separate ourselves, or we experience that. Many people are isolated or lonely, and they have separated themselves in ways that we don't always understand. And in a sense, we are all lepers. We all experience that separation. We may not have physical leprosy, but we have spiritual leprosy. That's sin. Sin enters our lives. We all are affected by sin, whether it's personal sin, the things that we have decided to do, or the effects of original sin, the effect that our nature is affected by the sin of Adam. These things make us vulnerable to temptation. In our time, there are two major ways that we deal with spiritual leprosy. One way people deal with it is they try to cover it up. They try to hide it. They try to cover it up just like I was trying to cover up the chicken pox, you know, trying to hide from the reality that I'm struggling with this. But they can only do that for so long before eventually our sins and our wounds become exposed. These are things like lying or cheating or pornography or alcohol or other things that try to keep hidden, but we pretend, you know, this isn't a problem for me, it's not a big deal, but eventually it slowly takes over our lives. And we can't live in that situation for too long before it starts to affect our relationships with one another, and it begins to deteriorate our lives. And it eventually gets to the point where you can't hide anymore, and we become exposed, and then the shame or the frustration or whatever comes out. And at that point, we have to decide either two things. We can either despair, like, oh gosh, I'm not worthy, or I'm separated from the community or whatever, or we can repent, and we can invite Christ in and ask Christ to heal us. Where does Jesus want us to do? What does Jesus want us to do? He wants us to repent and find healing in our lives. So that's the first way we deal with it. Sometimes the second way people are dealing with spiritual leprosy in their lives and in our culture is that they take on an identity that is associated with their wound, and they identify themselves with it. What are the sorts of things that we do this with? You know, sometimes we identify with this thing, this identity that we take on. And for many of us, it's not a decision that we make, but set of the circumstances that lead to this. So these are things like being divorced, or having same-sex attraction, or mental illness, or disabilities. You know, the list could go on and on, but it's those sort of things that kind of happen to us. There's some choice involved, but not always clear choice. But instead of rejecting this label, or this identity that we kind of take out on ourselves, instead of rejecting it, we kind of take it on, and that becomes who we are. I am this thing. And God, again, wants to heal us. He wants us to seek healing and receive our true identity, which is to be a son or daughter of God. That's our identity. Now, for both groups, those who hide their wounds and those who take on this identity and identify themselves in their wounds, both groups need God's healing. They need God's healing in their lives. And when we seek healing and go through this process of healing, this helps us not only to overcome the wound, but it can also be a vehicle by which we come to a deeper relationship with God, a deeper understanding of our identity as God's sons and daughters. We can even begin to minister to others in our wounds or through our wounds. Our wounds, when brought to Christ and redeemed by Him, then become a source of salvation for us and for others. What a paradox. Naaman sought healing. Even though he almost doesn't go to take the necessary steps, he does take those steps. The lepers in the gospel, they ask Jesus for help. They say, have pity on us. We too need Jesus in our lives. Certainly we can and should seek medical assistance. Certainly we should and can seek psychological assistance and medical professionals. But we are body and soul. We're body and soul. So we need to seek healing for both our bodies and for our souls. Ideally, these spheres of health would be connected, but it's not always the case. Now, we're very familiar, most of us, with how to keep the body healthy. We're aware of how to heal the body. But are we aware of how to heal the soul? Or are we even aware that our souls are damaged or are hurting? The body needs exercise, it needs a steady diet, and at times it needs surgery or physical therapy. The parallels in the soul are no less important because we cannot see the soul. We often forget about it. We say, it's not a big deal. We need a steady life of prayer, a regular mass attendance, reading the scriptures. These are the things that are akin to that healthy diet and exercise. Anointing of the sick and confession. Fasting, these are the things that are necessary when our wounds cannot be overcome by the regular, day-to-day, healthy spiritual practices. The reality is, we need to care for our souls. We've been wounded by original sin and by our actual sins. And often, we've been hurt by life circumstances or our interactions with others. Jesus is the only one. He's the only one who can heal the soul. We do not have the capability to heal our souls alone. Only when we come to Jesus, only when we put ourselves into His hands and cry out, Lord, have pity on me. Only then can we experience the renewal and the health of body and soul that we're called to have. So it's a good thing for us to take an inventory. Are we aware of the state of our soul? Is it in good health or not? Do you have an awareness of what is hurting you or what is wounding you or what has wounded you in the past? Right now, there are many people in the world. There are many, many people in the world, and their souls are diseased or wounded, and they're unaware of it. They don't understand why. They don't feel well. They are trying to be healthy, but they don't understand why. They seek to self-medicate themselves. They're hiding their wounds, and they believe that there's no way to keep from being identified by their wounds. They need prophets like Elisha to point them to Jesus, the source of healing. But if we have not gone to the divine healer ourselves, if we have not sought His healing, then how can we help others? How can we help others if we cannot go there ourselves? And how will we be able to walk with them towards this healing if we haven't walked that journey ourselves? So taking a spiritual inventory of our lives, examining ourselves, you know, physical exams aren't always pleasant, but it's necessary to see how am I doing, how's the state of my health. And it's the same thing for our souls. We need to take that inventory. You know, today after Mass, I'd like to have an opportunity for anyone who'd like to pray, asking healing. After Mass, we'll be gathering in the front of the church here, so you don't have to come, but if you'd like to be prayed with, or we can pray together, I'd like to offer that opportunity. We'll do that a few minutes after Mass. So that'll be an opportunity today to seek God's healing. But think about, how am I doing? Where's the state of my soul? Is it a healthy soul, or is it an infected soul? Does it need healing? Today is an opportunity for us to look and ask God to heal us. Lord Jesus, help us to find healing. Help us to see our wounds, not as our identity, not as something that binds or holds us back, but rather may we seek spiritual renewal and your healing touch. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen.